A couple of weeks ago, Crystal and I were having a conversation, and during our conversation, we were talking about the different transitions that are going on in our lives, and the different things that not only in Crystal and I's life, but also people all around us, just different transitions and different things going on. People are leading people in higher ways. I love what Jordan said this morning, and that is sometimes we think that we want to stay in our comfort zone. We want to stay right where we are, where it's comfortable, and so transition is difficult sometimes because transition pulls us out of our comfort zone. And we've been exposed to some people that God is really stirring hearts today. And I believe that God is even using what Satan meant for harm in our society and in our world today, and God's turning it around for good. And so as we were talking a couple of weeks ago, I felt the Lord just, you know how a cow, they put that piece of iron in the fire and they get it red hot and then they brand the back end of that cow. I feel like God did that to me a couple of weeks ago. I felt like there was a branding that he's making some changes, and they're going to be permanent changes. And we as God's people, we've got to embrace those changes in order to see God's hand move the way that he wants to move. You see, we read the Bible and we see that Jesus did great and mighty things when he was walking earth. And then we look at our society today, and there's not a whole lot of that going on right now. And many times people blame God for that, and I don't believe it's God's fault. I take personally responsibility for not doing our part to embrace that and to nurture that anointing and that power and that presence that God wants to place in our churches and in our lives and in our homes today. But that means that we've got to somehow see ourselves as being promoted, if you will. That God is not leaving us, he's actually calling us out to a higher place. And it's in that higher place that we're going to experience God in a higher way. You say, well, that's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable, but it's exciting because he said he would never leave us. And so there's some transitions going on right now. Some of it's in your very home. It's in your life. Some of it's kind of what I experienced over the years, different times. And that is just a stirring in my heart to where I can't even identify it, but I know it's there. A stirring so much sometimes that I'm losing sleep at night. I'm thinking about it. It's like God's doing something. I don't know what he's doing. You know what? We don't necessarily have to know what he's doing. As long as we embrace whatever it is, we know it's going to be good. And so God has created us to grow. He's created us to change. He's created us to mature. And he's created us to transition. I mean, the very nature around us does all these things. Everything. Every living organism, every living thing actually praises God in its own way. And we are the cream of the crop in God's creation. We're breathing his breath. We're enjoying his blood in our veins. We're all together. We are family. We are connected in God because God created every single one of us. And so through God's power, through his strength, through his presence, through his anointing, he wants to empower us to embrace this season of transition, growth, maturing. And so God spoke clearly to me a couple of weeks ago, and putting into words everything that he's saying is almost more than humanly possible. But in Genesis 37:19, it says this, speaking of Joseph. Then they said, Joseph's brothers said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. This dreamer is coming. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, may I impart, Lord, what you want me to say today. God, may you speak through me as a vessel of you, God, that you'll draw us all, each one of us, closer to you. Give us divine revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember growing up, we all had probably things that we wanted to do as we were growing up. We wanted to be somebody, a policeman, a firefighter. Well, believe it or not, my goal in life when I was a child was to be a preacher. I would get in my bedroom, and of course, I'd lock my door and make sure that my sister, 2 years younger than I, was far enough away from my room she wouldn't hear me. And so I was a little embarrassed, but that hunger, that stirring was in my heart as a young child, and I would set my little homemade podium up at the end of my bed because I didn't have anything quite tall enough, so I'd put some books on the end of the bed, and man, I'd go to town. I'd preach the word. I'd let them have it. I'd look over the congregation, and man, I'd tell them. And so that hunger was always in my heart and in my spirit. And then it wasn't until age 15, my mom passed away when I was 13 years old, but at age 15, Sunday night service back then when I was a teenager was pretty popular. I mean, there was as much emphasis on Sunday night service as there was on Sunday morning. And so I recall one night, pastor speaking and sharing, and God just gripped my heart. And as I went to the altar that night to pray, my heart just poured out. I mean, I was just crying and crying and crying. And it was in that moment when I was 15 years old that I felt the Lord speak that I'm calling you to preach my word. I was old enough, I believe, to hear, maybe he had said it before then, but I was old enough at that point to hear what he was saying. And God gave me a vision of me doing what I'm doing today, and that is standing before his people proclaiming the gospel. And as I was praying and studying these last few days, I'm feeling a stirring, and I'm feeling an excitement, and I'm feeling whatever all the words to those emotions are, and I don't have the words to tell you. I'm feeling that same exciting, nervous, exciting anticipation, not knowing where we're going, not knowing what it's going to look like. I'm feeling that same thing today that I felt that night on my knees at 15 years old. But as we grow up, as things change, I'm talking to you because I believe somebody needs to hear this. Things change and we kind of draw away from those dreams that maybe we had younger. God possibly put those on our heart. We face challenges, we face difficulties, we face different things in life, and we draw away from those dreams. And so challenges along the way and busyness of life and all the things that we have to do sometimes has a tendency to take us away from those dreams that I believe God has placed there. Challenges don't have to hinder our dreams. Challenges do not have to hinder our dreams. Challenges can push us closer to experiencing the fulfillment of our dreams with God's help and strength. Let me say that again. Challenges can push us closer to experiencing the fulfillment of our dreams with God's help and strength. God wants you and I to do great things. We're his people. We're created after his image, the Bible says. And so he wants us to do great things. He wants your dreams to be fulfilled. The Bible says he'll fulfill the desires of your heart. Those who make him number one, those who are centered, lives are centered around him. As I said, Joseph came to my mind a few weeks ago as we were talking, and as I believe God branded my heart, Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. Joseph faced great challenges. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more." That's a strong word. Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream, which I have dreamed." Joseph was so proud of this dream. He was so excited about this dream. "There we were," Joseph says, "binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." Now, Joseph was excited, and he just thought his brothers would be excited too. He said, "Hey, you're my brothers. Aren't you excited about my dream? Your sheaves bound down to my sheaves." Skip down to verse 19 through 21. It says, "Then they said to one another," they pulled themselves aside a little bit and said, "Look, this dreamer is coming." And I can see maybe in their heart and their purpose and their intentions, that exclamation point being at the end of the sentence, they were very eager to do something with Joseph, and it was not for good. They had it up to here with the dreamer. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. I don't really care what we say. Let's just say something happened to this dude. We shall see what will become of his dreams, they said. So they had every intention of doing away with Joseph and putting to hush that dream. But God gave Joseph a dream. The fulfillment of Joseph's dream did not come easy, and the fulfillment of your dream will not come easy. Your dream is from God, but it's not going to come without a time in the pit. There's going to be a season that you will wonder, God, did you put this on my heart or not? Dreams require thought. They require work. They require determination. Dreams require dedication. Two truths about Joseph's dream is that Joseph did hear from God, and Joseph's dream was legit. He heard from God, and it was legit. Well, how come everything seemed to go in the opposite direction for the fulfillment of Joseph's dream? For years, Joseph faced the impossible. Joseph faced things that you and I will never face, even in our seasons of the pit, of our seasons of the challenge. Joseph faced everything seemingly in the opposite direction, but God gave him a dream. The dream was legit. Sometimes it seems the harder you try, the further you get away. Seems like the more you push in, the more behind you get. Does anybody hear me? Has anybody ever been there? The harder you try, my goodness, the devil's come out of the woodwork. The Bible says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he will do that. Somebody said to me one time, why does the devil keep messing with me? Because he knows that if he keeps messing with you, he wants to try to deter you from your dream, to get your distraction off of God, to turn to his way rather than God's way. So we can expect that he will do those things. It's not fun, it's not easy, but it's part of the process to the palace. It's part of the process to God's calling. It's part of the process to what God wants to bring in your life. Does God have good things in your life? God has the very best things in your life for you. The very best. Nothing less. Nothing second hand comes out of God's hands. And so certainly Joseph experienced this. The guts that Joseph had was beyond just simple determination or just simple adrenaline or simply caffeine. There was something more to Joseph that he was so determined to follow God's call. And so after all these horrible events that Joseph faced, all the horrible events, I mean, even from his family, Joseph made it to see life and experience his dream. And so Joseph resided eventually in the palace. We see in Genesis chapter 41. Verses 37 to 44, that Joseph made it to the palace and he was actually given control over all of Egypt. It says in verse 37, so the advice of Joseph was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my wise. I lost my place. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one who is discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all of my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said this to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off of his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Joseph was given and fulfilled the dream. The same man who lived through the worst of challenges was the same man who resided in the palace. But it did not come without a season of challenge, a season of the pit, a season of everybody being turned against him. Before you experience your dream, you will face your greatest challenge. Someone listening to me today, you're saying, well, I am done with that season. I am over it. I'm done. And you're ready now for your dream to be fulfilled. There's some of you saying, I am over the past and I'm ready to get to where I'm going. Is anybody saying that today? Joseph can relate. I want to talk these next few moments about the actions that Joseph took that we can also take that will take us from the pit to the palace. Now that can mean in a very real, tangible way, and it could also mean in a very spiritual way to where we're closer to God than ever before. And God, I believe, he wants to take it to us in both. I believe he wants us to be there spiritually first, and then the other will follow with that. Amen. But God's here. He wants us first to know who he is and to be drawn to him. And then the Bible says all these other things will be added. But he's got to be number one. What did Joseph do? What are some lessons that we can learn from his life? The first one being, don't dwell on the challenge. Do not dwell on the challenge. The challenge is real. The challenge is there. And all the emotions going with this. But did you notice that Joseph didn't dwell on the challenge? He didn't. Now, there were some men and women of God that we see in the Word of God. David was such, oh, woe is me. I'm the dirt of the ground. I'm lower than spit. I mean, we've seen some servants of the Word of God do that. And if you're there today, don't run away from God. But Joseph didn't look at the challenge out of all that he faced. He looked to God. And God spoke to him. God spoke through him. God used him. Even while he was in the challenges, the greatest challenges of his life, God still continued to use Joseph. There will be a price to pay for your dream. But God is on your side. He's walking with you. He's not behind you, and he's not out in front of you. He's not over here having a hamburger while you're out here fighting. He's with you. God is with you. God is with you. And so Joseph didn't allow his challenge to hold him back from his dream. Joseph used his challenge, I believe, to motivate him. It built that much more fire in his gut to determine that he was going to get through this thing. I don't believe it was so that he would receive glory and recognition. I believe so that God would receive glory and recognition. Well, even when he was young and told his brothers that dream, it wasn't about him. It was about what God was doing in his life. I believe his heart was right with God. I believe his intention was good with God. Had it not been, God would not have promoted him. And so he saw his challenge as a motivation. And Joseph, as we read the scripture a while ago, Joseph wasn't shocked when it happened. He didn't say, oh my goodness, I can't believe you put that ring on my finger. I can't believe you put that chain on my neck, and I can't believe I'm sitting in this buggy. He didn't say any of that. He wasn't shocked. Why? Because he knew that it was going to happen. He received his expectation. He knew that God would not leave him or forsake him. He was going to take him through to fulfill the dream. Because he knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that God had spoke that dream to him all those years prior. See, we can come to a place in God that we know that we know that we know that God is speaking something to us. And when we get to that point, it's like an anchor with a big fat chain. And nothing is going to change. It doesn't matter what happens, where they go or where they don't go. We know that God is faithful to bring about in our life what he spoke to us. And I believe that we can have that assurance today. And knowing that God has something great and big planned for us. And we can hold on to that. Now that's not to say that we will still be in a season of the pit. We will still be in a season of challenge maybe for a little while longer. But once we get that assurance in our heart and in our gut and in our spirit, we can thank God because we know that it's coming. And when he gets here, we'll just praise. We won't be shocked. Because God, we knew that you were going to do this. We didn't know when or how. But praise God, we knew that you were faithful. We knew that you were faithful to bring all this about and to bless us. See, God loves you just like he loved Joseph. Joseph had challenges, but his focus was not on the challenge. Joseph was hated by his brothers, we just read. His brothers hated him. When they heard the dream, they hated him even more. They gave him another dream, they hated him even more. And at one point, Joseph's father rebuked him. Don't say that. You think I'm going to bow before you, you arrogant little boy? So he was rebuked, the Bible says, by his own father. But that challenge didn't hold Joseph back. That challenge, I believe, just built that much more in him to make him more determined to follow God. Challenges we face are out of our control. See, so we want to control it. If this will happen, then I can do this. You know, if they weren't against me, you know, if they would just love me, I love them. If they would just love me, everything would be okay. And so we try to control the situation. We try to change it, and we try to change people, and we spend our time and our focus on doing that rather than following God. Let God handle that stuff. We can't control it. I mean, if we could control it, we'd make a mess of it. God hasn't sent us to control it. God has sent us to keep our focus on him and let him control it. The closest of family members, you'd have thought that Joseph would have sat down and with his brothers and his mom and dad and said, listen, guys, how can I prove to you that I really love God and I want the best for us? I know that your sheep are going to bow before mine, but hey, let's work this together. But Joseph didn't waste his time trying to convince them otherwise. He just faced it. He didn't try to control it. We can't control the challenges. We can't control the people that the challenges are connected to. Nor do we need to try. See, anything that takes our eyes off of God, you say, well, isn't that good? Wouldn't that be great if my family would turn around? Wouldn't that be great if people loved me? Yeah, it will be great, but let God do it. But anything that takes our mind and our focus off of God is not of God. Doesn't matter how we can justify it or how good it is. But if we focus on God and let that challenge motivate us to pull toward God even more, God's going to take care of that. And we see, if you study the story, you see that God did. He took care of all of it. We'll see that just a little bit later. Don't base your dream on the challenge. See, the challenge will have a tendency to limit your dream. So don't base your dream on the challenge. The challenge is just a temporary stepping stone to your dream. It's temporary. Base your dream on God's promise. That's what Joseph did. He held on to the promise of God because God spoke that to him and he knew that he knew that he knew. Some of you just need to know that God is for you. Some of you need to know that God wants to promote you. Some of you need to trust God that he's moving you out so that he can move you up. And so Joseph's response to this challenge was this in Genesis chapter 50. His response to his brothers that were determined to kill him. In verse 20 and 21 it says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as it is today to save many people alive, now therefore do not be afraid. See, at this point, Joseph had the power and the ability to make life miserable for those brothers. At this point, Joseph had already been set over all of Egypt. And so Joseph had the power, if he wanted to have taken care of things. And it would never have been known. But see, there was a spirit that would have taken for Joseph to have done that he refused that spirit. He refused that spirit of resentment. He refused that spirit of bitterness. We don't see that in his life anywhere. And if anybody had a right to have it, it was Joseph. If anybody should have been mad, it was Joseph. You had the gall to come to me, man, I've been waiting for this day. Come here. Come here a little closer. You know? But that attitude would have prevented Joseph from reaching his dream. Be careful. All those people that are fighting against you, and they'll come out of the woodwork, especially when they get word of you doing so well. Oh, boy. In verse 21, it says, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. They didn't allow the resentment and bitterness to destroy their dream. Joseph did not allow that. The second thing, second lesson I see in this is that Joseph relied on God. He relied on God. He knew God's power was greater than his potential power. He knew that God's abilities were greater than his abilities. He knew that God's foresight was much greater than his foresight. See, God used him to even interpret dreams, but Joseph could not have done that on his own. Some would say, well, I've got this gift, and man, I've been using it greatly, and so I'm going to use it now for my good, and I'm going to put my name on billboards, and I'm going to make my cards up to where I could do all these great things now. I've practiced it, and I've got it. You know, so that's when arrogance comes in. That's when pride comes in, and pride always comes before a fall. But Joseph didn't do that. He relied on God from the beginning all the way to the end. Joseph relied on God. Some people will turn their backs on you, but God will always be reliable. Always reliable. God will never disappoint you. He will never leave you. God will support you when nobody else will. Joseph didn't really have a support group, did he? His own family, they turned their back on him. He didn't have anybody to support. Don't worry if nobody's there to support you and talk with you. If you feel like you're all alone, don't let that pull you down. God is for you, and God is not against you. And so rejection, we see that Joseph was rejected by his own family. Rejection is real. Rejection is hurtful. Joseph experienced rejection. Did you know what? Jesus also experienced rejection. Rejected by people. No support. Joseph was sold into slavery. Speaking about rejection, we don't only want you, but we want them to pay us money for you. I mean, that's going into the extra mile right there, isn't it? That's rejection on caffeine. Rejection is real. The third thing is to remember that time is on your side. There's an old saying that once you get a certain age, people say, well, time's not on my side, thinking that they're competing with time to get done in life what they want to get done. Did you know that God gives you the ability, the health, and everything else that you need to accomplish everything that God set out for you to do in this life? Time is on your side, because who's in control of time? God. Is God on your side? So is time. And so we get to middle age in life, and we begin to look back and say, well, have I done everything that I really wanted to do? And that kind of slips up on us. Man, I mean, where in the world? And so we get to a place in life, and we say, well, I've only got so many years. You know, we look at the morbid tables that the insurance guys go by. And they base life insurance based on the number of years that they expect you to live. Isn't that encouraging? And so we go by that, and so we've got so many years to live, and so you know, and so we base our life, we base our strength and our ability and our fuel, if you will, on what the world says that we have the days ahead of us to give. But time is on your side. Don't let any of those things limit who you are or what you can accomplish. Because you can accomplish everything that God sets out for you to accomplish, whatever age you are. From Maddox age to the oldest one in the house. We've got Miss Betty, who's in the Magnolia Manor today. And Miss Betty is 96, 95, somewhere in her mid-90s. And she doesn't hesitate to text me, to call me. I'm praying for you, Pastor. She was laying in the hospital bed one day. They were running tests on her heart, and she's texting me. I'm praying for you, Pastor. I love you. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are. God's got a reason for your life. It may be a little different. You know, maybe she wasn't laying on the bed getting tested for her heart, texting when she was 25 years old. That's okay. It's still just as important now as it was then, right? So God's purpose for your life is just as important today as it was when you were a younger person. So don't ever think that time's not on your side. And so when Joseph was going through all of this, all these things, all these battles, all these challenges in the pit for a while and walking through, and he was a slave for a while and had to work and all these things, and Joseph never let time hinder him from continuing forward. He realized that time was in God's hands, and God had all that planned out for him that was going to bring about his dream and God's destiny and purpose for his life. I love what Habakkuk says in the Living Bible, Living Bible Translation, Habakkuk 2 and verse 3. This is what it says. I don't know if it's there, but just remember, just write this down. Chapter 2, verse 3. These things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. Say that with me. Will be fulfilled. Say it again. Will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. God is speaking to us that we don't get so focused on time and running out of time that we lose the purpose for the path. You know, God didn't put the pit there, but he used the pit as a time to build some patience so that we can make it to the palace and be able to think more clearly, to be able to appreciate him more, be able to stand before the brothers who hindered us in a calm way and say, I'll take care of you and your children. See, there's a time in the path that's important to teach us hard-headed ones some things, to teach us some things that we're relying on God, and God's timing is always perfect, that he's doing something greater than what we can see that he's doing. God is most interested in us having a relationship with him more so than fulfilling our dream. Well, I thought you just said he wants to fulfill our dream. That's right. He wants to fulfill our dream. Even greater than that, he wants us to have a close relationship with him. That's got to be first and foremost. That is God's ultimate purpose. That's why he said, seek me first, seek the kingdom of God first. And the promise is all these things will be added. So he wants the dream to be fulfilled. The dream, I believe, is on the way. But don't lose sight of who's in control of the time, who is holding the clock, who's calling the shots. You say, well, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't seem like it. Well, Joseph could have said that too. God, where are you? He's most interested in us having a close relationship with him. And part of that is building patience in us to trust him in his timing. The last lesson I believe that we can learn, there are so many. I've given you four. Number four is stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God no matter what. No matter what happens. No matter how it looks, no matter the report, no matter the response, no matter the disappointment, stay faithful to God. There will be disappointments. It would have been so much easier had Joseph gave his spiel and maybe not told so much details to the family and said, God gave me a dream. I'm going. I'll see y'all later. I'll write you. He could have bypassed the hate. He could have bypassed maybe part of the challenges and going on his way. But you know what? The palace wouldn't have been quite as good as it was unless he had paid the price for God to have walked him through that. See, that the greater the victory, the greater the battle. Joseph could tell us a few things about disappointments. To outline a few of them, Joseph was misunderstood by his family, as we've said. He was sold into slavery by his family. He was forced to live in a strange country far away from home. He was thrown into prison for being wrongly accused, going after somebody's wife. He was in prison and forgotten by a friend. The friend said, I'm going to help you out. And then the friend forgot about him and left. So Joseph's in prison for an extended period of time. I mean, every turn. Talk about disappointments. And Joseph stayed faithful to God. Your faithfulness to God will push you through all those doubtful times and all those temptation times that you want to go somewhere else. Sometimes we as humans, we just get tired and we get tired of fighting and we want to take the easy road out. And let's just take an exit off right here because I'm pretty much done. This is not getting any better. This is getting a little worse and I'm not expecting this. I'm disappointed, so I'm going to take. But don't do that. Stay the path, and God promises that he will stay faithful to us. He stayed faithful. Joseph had twice as many disappointments as he had victories. Twice as many disappointments? You mean I'm going to be disappointed twice as much as I am celebrating victories? Possibly. But stay faithful. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things means all things, work together for good to those who love God. Stay faithful to God. Keep focused on God. Keep God the center. Work good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, all things that the 8:28 of Romans is talking about, all these things includes the bad things too. That's if we could just leave those out and just take all these good things that are going to work together for good, for gooder. The good works for gooder. But see, the bad works for gooder too. I know that's not. Josh, if you're watching, buddy, I love you. Thank you for keeping Daddy straight. See, the pit is temporary. The pit is not the destination. And so if we just remember that, that this is temporary, this will also pass. And so this is only part of the trip. You ever been on a trip that you were really anticipating and looking forward to, and right halfway through you had a flat tire? You say, well, why did I have a flat tire? See, God uses all things. There's some good to come out of that somewhere. And it's not our responsibility to try to hunt for it. It's just our responsibility to stay faithful to God and to trust him that he's going to work good out of it. Well, I haven't seen any good yet. There is good in it. The pit is not the destination, but the pit is necessary. See, the dry season is not fun, but it's necessary. The rainy season many times hinders us, but it's necessary. All the seasons in life that God brings into our life is necessary, but it's not permanent. What's permanent is the dream. God is bringing the dream. God is bringing the fruition of his word and his promise to you. Stay faithful to him. Jesus was also in a pit called the tomb. He didn't live there, but it was important. The tomb preceded Jesus' dream. The children of Israel, they were in a pit called the wilderness. They were in this pit for 40 years, but that was not their destination. The wilderness preceded the children of Israel's dream. Your challenge is preceding your dream. The dream is coming. The fruit of your labor is coming. The exit from the pit leads to the entrance of the palace. Why don't God just take me out of this fiery furnace? Why don't he just deliver me from this? He has the power to do it. But God seemingly, for us that need a little better and deeper understanding of who he is, he brings us through the fiery furnace. He brings us through the pit. So the exit of that pit is actually the beginning step of the entrance to the palace. There's always a storm before a miracle. Always. There's always a sickness before a healing. There's always a lost before there's a found. There's always a sorrow before the joy. There's always a disappointment before the victory. There's always a stronghold before the deliverance. There's always a frustration before a visitation. There's always a humiliation before an exaltation. There's always a death before a life. There's always a struggle before a release. But God is faithful. He is faithful to see you through. This is not all there is to life. You say, well, we've come here in 2020, and here we are. This is not all there is to life. This is only a temporary pit. This is only a temporary season. God is doing some things that he's going to use this to accomplish and to speed up his purpose on earth. I believe that. The time of the pit is only for a moment. There's more of God about to come to earth. And this, I believe, will just initiated even more. Are you saying that God caused this? Nope, God didn't cause it. God doesn't cause anything bad or harmful, I don't believe. He's not going to cause death when he came to give us life, right? But he's going to use what Satan meant for harm, as though he did in Joseph's life, to bring about good. I declare this to you today. The fulfillment of your dream is just ahead. Your salvation is drawing near. Your victory is around the corner. And your answer is on the way. I declare to you that Jesus is still alive. And Jesus is not facing a challenge. Jesus is not in a dilemma. Amen. Jesus is not confused. Jesus is not sick. Jesus is alive and well. He's sitting on the same throne that he sat on. After 3 days, he ascended to heaven, said, I'll be at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you, sending the Holy Spirit to be your comforter. That's the same Jesus who's alive and well today. The same one. And he's going to be the one to walk with you and walk with me and walk with us to take us to the promised land that he's promised each one of us. We've got to stay faithful. Keep your eyes on him. Don't step away. Don't take the exits. There will be exits available to you, by the way. There will be opportunities to you to bail out. There'll be times for you to say, you know what? I just don't feel like it today. But Jesus is calling every one of us, as I said when I started, he's calling us to a higher place, to be able to experience a higher freedom and blessing in him. I believe that. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7 says this. In this you greatly rejoice, he says, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It will be tested. We will be tested. That's not to make us nervous. I knew when I was in school, when you said test, I went numb. Oh, no. But he's walking with us, giving us the answers, holding our hand and saying, you're going to be tested, but I'm walking with you, that you will be victorious. That's the testing. And so all we have to do today is just to give our heart to Jesus and say, God, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to rededicate my life to you. I'm going to stay determined to follow you. I'm going to stay faithful to you. That's the extent of our obligation to him. He's paid the price. He's laid the groundwork. The promise is being put forth by him. All we've got to do is be faithful, stay faithful to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he will bring you through. He will bring you through. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I mean, the fire is around you, but you're not going to smell like smoke. You're going to see the fire burning, but you're not going to break a sweat. Why? Because you're staying faithful to Jesus Christ today. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Praise God. I break off every spirit of fear. I break off every spirit of discouragement in Jesus' name. I break off everything that may hinder you in Jesus' name. I speak the love of Jesus Christ, who conquers all fear. I speak the name of Jesus Christ and his blood, that he will protect your mind, soul, body, and spirit, that no sickness will become you, that God will give you his wisdom, his revelation, his insight, his direction. I pray that God give you ears to hear him, eyes to see him, and a heart to follow him today. I pray that if you're far from God, that God will bring you closer to him I pray that you'll have a heart to pour toward him like never before. Every ear that hears my voice today, I pray that you hear the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God is saying. And Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to us. You're giving us assurance in who you are and how great you are. Lord, even in the pit, you will deliver the dream.